So, I have a New King James Bible right now because my other one is someone else has. But so bear with me if the words are slightly different.
The words are different. That's
slightly, slightly. Word for word is not always the same. Yeah. Cool. So, it's silly to even ask if anyone else got blessed by hearing words from God. You know, just the thing he keeps affirming is that he loves us, right?
Yeah.
That, like, nothing can separate us from him and his love. You know, it's where we get into trouble sometimes is we let circumstances in life determine how we perceive God and his love. And the circumstances in life never are what dictate whether God loves us or not. His word says that he loves us. It says that when we were enemies, he gave his son for us. That he demonstrated his love toward us, and that while we were yet enemies, he delivered us, right? He saved us. He reconciled us. So the love of God is not situational. We experience it in certain situations, but it's not situational. It's true, and it's reality right now. Like he said today. I love you today. He wants you to know he loves you today, and he'll love you tomorrow, right? There's just this. If we even just believe that one thing to the extent that it can be believed and trusted that God loves us and never doubted that, how much fruit that would bring in your life, how much surety and absolute just contentness and satisfaction that would bring. Because the whole world's looking for love, and God has given it to us in his son Jesus Christ and has poured it out to us. Says by the Holy Spirit which dwells in us, right? So, and that thing doesn't go away. We have the Spirit of God. So some of the things I want to share today, I got to pull my notes up because there's a verse I was looking for. It's just by living by that Spirit of God. The verse I was thinking is not in there, but that's okay. we're in this world. The scriptures say that we're not of it. There is the one scripture verse, and you guys all know this has been one of the ones that's been on my heart now the last month or so. But it says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." It's in Deuteronomy, and then our Lord quotes it again in Matthew and Luke. They're both recorded there. "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Right? And there's so many things in the physical realm that compete for our time and our thoughts and our emotions and our energy. Everything in the physical realm is competing for that. Right? But what we're going to see in the scriptures today is that the things of the flesh have been crucified with Christ, and we've been raised up to new life with him, and that new life is the Spirit of God in you, and this is now the life that we live by. It's not just a doing, it's a living. We live in that Spirit. That's where our life issues from now. And seeing that clearly, it's been awesome. We don't live by just what we eat and what our body and our flesh needs. We live by the very word of God and the Spirit of God. That's where life issues from. Okay? So I want to start in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 5. If anyone can't hear me, just tell me to speak up. All right, John chapter 5, and we're going to look at verse 24. And he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life." That's so cool. So if you do a study of and you see what it is that the Lord particularly says that he's coming to bring, time and time again, it's eternal life and it's spirit.
Yeah.
That's like why he came. Right? That was what was lost in the garden when Adam sinned. And that's what the Lord brings back. Mankind was created in the image of God. That's what our purpose, that's what the purpose of mankind was from the beginning, is to be created in the image of God. And that's the great tragedy of what Adam lost, is because that died with Adam when he sinned. And it needed to be restored. So the purpose of God from the beginning of mankind is that man would be made in his image. And he sent his son Jesus Christ to restore mankind back to his purpose. And that's why it's called the purpose of the ages. It was his purpose from the beginning for man to be made in his image. Pretty awesome, right? So our Lord, he comes to bring everlasting life. That's what it's referring to. Spirit of God, image of God, everlasting life. Passing from death, which is no spirit, unto life, which is now spirit. Okay? Let's go to Romans 6. Let's go to Romans 5:21. Sorry. We'll back up one verse. This is cool. So this is the very purpose of God for you, for every one of you in this room. Whether a person's born again or not, the purpose of God for that person is that they would be created in his image. That is what God's purpose for all mankind is. You know, it's pretty awesome to realize that. Verse 21 of chapter 5 says, "So that as sin reigned in death, even so might grace reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And it's important when you read eternal life that you think in terms of spirit. Because eternal life is not just something that happens someday in heaven. And it's not just talking about your body becoming immortal someday. It's talking about the Spirit of God. It says, without the Spirit of God, dead. With the Spirit of God, life. That's why even though we die in the flesh, we fall asleep, as the scriptures say, the word says we have eternal life. Because it's not talking about your body right this second, right now. It's talking about the Spirit of God. It's why it's called born again, right? Mm-hmm. You must be born again because you're born into the flesh by water, but you must be born again. And that's the eternal life that our Lord came to bring. That's what it's talking about. Sin, the sin of Adam, reigned in death or unto death. But even so, in the same way that death reigned, grace might also reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Isn't that awesome? That's awesome. So if someone just gets born again, if that's all we ever do with this thing, is get born again, we have entered into the very purpose of God for our life, and we don't have to add anything to it because he did it in Christ. Now we get to live by the Spirit. And doesn't it make sense if the flesh is dead and I've been given life and now suddenly my life shows up on the map? Because there I was going along and I was dead. Dead, 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 dead. Boom. I heard the word. I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God was created in me. And I'm suddenly now an alive, I'm suddenly now living spiritually. I have the Spirit of God in me. I have righteousness in me. Christ in us, the hope, that confident expectation of glory is in me. And now I'm alive for the first time. Would it make sense to continue living in the death when I've been given life for the first time? Mm-hmm. Right? It wouldn't. Right? It's just that simple. That's the gospel. That's grace. I can't add to this thing. I can't make myself alive by my actions. I am alive by his actions, right, and his believing. And in that place, I can now live. I live from there. See? So it's important to understand that as we go on and read some of the sections I want to look at, because walking by the Spirit is not doing more Christianity. It's not just doing more things that are good or noble. That's not what Christianity is about. You know, walking by the Spirit is walking by his spiritual word and by his word that comes to you by revelation. It's an everyday, day in, day out, minute by minute walk with him. And that's what's exciting. And it's not religious. It's awesome. Chapter 6, verse 1, look at this. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in the sin? The word "the" is there. It's referring to the sin of Adam. Should we continue in that sin that brought death, that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to the sin live any longer in it? Isn't that cool? This is more than just your actions. This is talking about life and death. You died to the sin. You're not going to find life there anymore. You're not going to find life there anymore. And I just think about my own life, and honestly, and sometimes it's really good because God confronts me with his word, and I see that I spend an awful lot of time nourishing and cherishing my flesh, and not always the same kind of energy and time going to his word and seeking him for answers. You know, and it's not even bad things. It's not like I'm saying I'm going after, you know, devilish things. It's just life stuff, right? Food and clothing and whatever, things that come up, jobs and things that I have to do, right, that I perceive I have to do to live on earth. And my mind gets clouded with the things I think that I have to do. You know, and it happens to all of us. You know, it really, at times, it does. But we've been given new life, and we're encouraged to live by that thing, and we can't. Boy, and I just want to more and more, I want to put as much, if not really more energy into going after and seeking God and seeking the things of the Spirit of God as opposed to the things of the flesh. Because I was dead and now I'm alive. Right? Because we hear that word flesh, and we think automatically it's just the bad things of the flesh, just like the things that we think are sin. But it's really talking about flesh. All the stuff that pertains to, you know, the body and soul kind of stuff, as opposed to the things of the Spirit.
Yeah.
Which is, it's awesome. So, okay, look at this. Verse 5, chapter 6. We could read the whole thing, but I want to get elsewhere too. So verse 5, for if I have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Or if we've been united together in the likeness of death, we shall also in his resurrection. We're resurrected spiritually by him. Knowing this, verse 6, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, or it says destroyed, I think, in the regular King James. Same concept, that the body of sin might be done away, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Or slaves of the sin. We're no longer servants of the sin. Before you got born again, you had no choice. You know, here's the thing. We all have a body, right? We have a physical body. The scriptures call it a body. It calls it a temple in one place. Calls it a tabernacle or a tent. Calls it a vessel sometimes. You know, but the point is that in and of itself, it's just a shell. It's a body. You know, and it's nice to have a body. You know? right? It's nice to be here on earth with a body, but prior to you getting born again, that body could only make its decisions, its thought processes, its actions based on something that was devoid of spirit. It was dead. It had no life in it. All right? Now, my body didn't change physically when I got born again, but it got filled with the Spirit of God. It got filled with the Spirit of God, and I now have a word and the Spirit that I can choose to live by and not continue to live like I'm dead. Do you see the difference? But either way, if I continued to live like I was dead, I would still be alive. Because the life is not because of what I'm doing, it's because of what he did, and it's done. You see? And so we get condemned sometimes in our mind. We see the things we're not doing or the things we should be doing better. Instead of just seeing what he did and getting so filled with that that we, by supernature, do the right thing. You see? That's awesome. It's delivering. The gospel is delivering. For we've been united together. We have been. It says if. The question is, if. Have you been united together in the likeness of his death? Have you?
Yes.
Yes. Certainly we shall also be of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him. Our old man, crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away, that we should no longer be a slave to it, right? Because we were before. For he who has died has been freed from the sin. We have died to it, so we're free from it. I'm no longer a slave to it. I no longer have to serve that stuff. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Are we dead with Christ?
Yes,
we are, right? It just said that. We've been buried with him. If you're dead with Christ, which you are, you shall also live with him. And I love this. This is not a future thing. This means that your life is in him. The word is pretty awesome there. If you look up that word with, or live with is one word. It live with, and it means that your life is tied to his life. The reason, because he lives, you live. We'll live with him, or in him, maybe would be a good way to say that. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him, for the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, in the same way, you also reckon yourself to be dead indeed to the sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a statement. God wants us in this room. He wants us in this room to see ourselves, to calculate ourselves, to understand ourselves, who we are, to be dead to sin. Dead to it, and alive to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's how he wants us to see ourselves. Therefore, for that reason, because we see ourselves that way, because sin has been reckoned dead, the sin, that thing, yuck, gone, and we've now reckoned ourselves alive, because of that, verse 12, therefore do not let the sin, or sin, reign in your mortal body. Don't let it rule. Because you're free from it, don't let it rule. You see, and I'm not sitting here and telling everyone not to, you know, this is far bigger than just, hey, avoid drugs and alcohol and sex until you're married, and then you'll be good. That's not what it's talking about. It's not talking about actions. It's talking about the thing called sin that you've been delivered from. Where my thoughts, my heart, the focus of my life is no longer on the flesh and the things that the whole world is going after, and it's now shifted because I've shifted. Because I've gone from death to life, my vision is now life, and it's him, and it's in Christ my Lord. And this is where it's a whole gear shift. Do you see the difference? It's more than just actions, although actions follow. And look at this, verse 12 is what we're reading. This is incredible. Don't let the sin reign in your mortal body, your dying body. Hey, in Romans 8, it says that there's an adoption to come, the redemption of your body. In John, it says that you're going to have, that you're going to lose this vile body, and you're going to get glorious bodies, like unto his. Okay? So the shell here is just that. You know? What happens with this thing is up to me, by my free will, to respond either to the Word and the Spirit of God, or to respond to the lust of the flesh. You see, that's all. And you hear the word lust again, you think all these bad things. I'm talking stuff that men call noble, that have everything to do with satisfying the body and the flesh and the sense of you being okay somehow. You are because of Christ, you see? Look at this. So therefore, don't let sin reign. Don't let it rule in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lusts, in its lusts. So whether we're talking about sin's lusts or the body's lusts, either way, we're not obeying that. Look at this, verse 13. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead. Are you alive from the dead?
Yes.
Yeah, you are. So we present ourselves to God as being alive from the dead. And it says not to present our members as tools. It's the word instruments, you know, instruments could be a musical instrument, I suppose, but the word here is referring to a tool. What do you do with a tool? You do things with a tool, right? You utilize a tool to do things. So it says don't present your body parts, your members, your body parts as tools of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, because you are, and your members, your body parts as instruments, tools of righteousness to God. This verse, when I saw this clearly, it really changed my whole perspective on a lot of things, because for a long time, and we just read it, and we just saw the words that God chooses to use in his word. But for a long time, I saw myself as the life that I live is this, and that the Spirit of God is in me, and I use it like a tool to do things by my free will. But this is saying who you are is alive to God and dead to sin. So your life is in Christ. Your life is the Spirit. The body is the instrument that you, by your free will, decide to walk by the Spirit, utilizing this shell to manifest the power of God in this life. Do you see the difference? It's 360 from what I had seen it. I had seen it as if I'm the, like, this is me, and I'm using the Spirit as a tool, but the Spirit of God in me is who I am. It's identity. That's who I am. And I can choose, because this is my body, I get that, I can choose by my free will to have this thing either submit to the Spirit of God in Christ in me, or to submit to the lust of the flesh. I have that choice. You know, and we're going to look at that a little closer. But isn't that cool? But who you are is the deal. Who you are is Christ in you. That's who you are now. That's why it says there's no more male nor female nor this nor that, because we're all one in him. That's who we are. It's our identity. You see, it doesn't come off when we leave church. It doesn't come off when we stop praying. It's who we are. Yeah, and we're just encouraged to live by it. We'll go to Romans 8. Romans 8, this is cool. Verse 10. Verse 9. Oh, man. Okay, verse 6. Sorry, we got I'm just reading up, and it just keeps getting better. Okay, so look at this. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And I think you guys know this, but this is important to understand what this is talking about. If I'm carnally minded, I don't send myself into death. I don't lose eternal life for being carnally minded. That's not what this is saying, right? Otherwise, we'd have to forget everything that Romans just established. Because we read 1 through 7, and it just told us that this thing is by grace, right? And that me thinking it or not thinking it doesn't change what he did in Christ. You were a slave to sin, and it says in Romans 6, now you're a slave to righteousness. That's God's choice of words. It's pretty wild, huh? Mm-hmm. You did serve sin, now you serve righteousness. That's who you are. Identity, right? And look at this. So then, for me to think carnally is to think what?
Death.
It's to think death, right? It's to think death. But to think spiritually, it is life and it's peace. Boy, I have a choice. It's a simple choice. I have a choice to think carnally, think in terms of taking care of just the fleshly things and being consumed with that, or thinking the spirit, life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's contrary to God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Okay? Because those who are in the flesh that haven't been born again yet, that's all they've got. You can't please God with that. You can't. So why would I want to even think that way anymore? Right? It just doesn't make sense. So then those that are in the flesh cannot please God. Verse 9, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. That's another one of those ifs. Does the Spirit of God dwell in you?
Yes.
Yes. Absolutely, right? So you're not in the flesh, you're in the Spirit. What's the implication there? You can please God now, when before you couldn't, but you do please God because you're in the Spirit, not in the flesh. You see that? You please God. Every one of you in this room pleases God, and we heard it from his own mouth earlier. He said, I love you today. Right?
Yeah.
Okay? I love you today. He's not going back on his word. He loves you. Not because of what you have done for him, but because he loves you. His choice. He's God. He loves you. Those who are in flesh can please us here, right? Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. If you're not born again, if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you don't belong to God. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him, look at this in verse 11, this is incredible. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you, that dwells in you. It's incredible. God over and over again speaks of the great power that was wrought when he raised his Son from the dead. It says that Jesus was declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection of the dead. Right? And that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you. Every one of you. That Spirit of God dwells in you. It's not conditional, whether you walk by it or not. It does. It lives in you. That's great power, right? And by the way, it gives life to your mortal body. Isn't that cool? Because you were dead before, but now you're alive. You weren't able to please God before, but now you are. Do you see how it gives life to this, even this flesh now? Okay? Romans 12. Look at this. Verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. That's interesting. A living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your logical service or a reasonable service, or It's logical. It's reasonable that you would do that. You present your bodies. So this is funny. It's funny to me because I'll take scriptures and, for many times in my life, God is talking up here and I'm still seeing it down here, right? Yeah. But what did we just read through Romans? What does the Spirit of God do to my flesh? What does it give?
Life.
It gives life. How do I present my body to Him as a living sacrifice? Walking by the Spirit of God. That's that simple. I have that opportunity to walk by the Spirit of God. And in doing that, I present my body as a living sacrifice. It's not by doing more actions. It's by walking with Him by way of Spirit. It's letting the Word of God abide in me and me abiding in it. It's taking that time to go to God and let Him teach you and instruct you and father you. This is cool. And look, it's going to continue on. And do not be conformed to this age, right? This whole age, the people of the world and everything, they're conformed to one way of thinking, and it's devoid of Spirit of God. It's probably not devoid of Spirit, but it's devoid of the Spirit of God. Mm-hmm. But you see, it's devoid of the Spirit of God. It's death. Why would I choose to let my body and soul be conformed to the way of the world and its thought patterns and its thoughts of what's normal, right? And there's a lot of things out there that the world thinks are normal and no one thinks is bad. But it's still the ways of the world. And we're instructed here, don't be conformed to that, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove or try out what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And I love this, seeing this for myself more clearly. In past times, I've turned this into a work of the flesh where every little temptation that comes my way, I'm trying to change my mind by brute strength and think a different way. But what we've just laid out in Romans is the gospel, which says that you are no longer bound by that, that that's not who you are, that there's one who you have called Lord. And His name's Jesus, and you have a Spirit of God in you that gives you life when you had death before. Reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto the sin and alive unto God. Right? So if I'm reckoning myself dead indeed to the sin and alive unto God, that's renewed mind. That's renewed mind. Now I'm not saying there's not situations where I gotta think the word instead of thinking, but if I'm thinking dead to sin, alive to God, that's where my heart's at, and my eyes are focusing on those things that are above, not on things of the earth, like it says in Colossians, it takes care of a lot of those little issues, a lot of those little things, those little battles that we fight to do what's right or do not do what's wrong. You understand? Because it's here. We've transformed by the renewing of our mind. I see myself differently. I see you differently, too. It's so freeing because if I know that I'm accepted by God, if I have His Spirit and His life, I don't have to be accepted by you. Which gives me great freedom to just do what God works in me, even if no one else gets it. Because I'm not concerned about what you think. I'm concerned about what He thinks, and I already know what He thinks because His Word tells me so. You see, there's great freedom in that. Don't be conformed, but be transformed. And we have that opportunity, that opportunity to do this thing. Our Lord, was fasting 40 days and 40 nights when he quotes that scripture, which I think is rather appropriate there in Matthew and Luke, where he says, "Man shall not live by bread alone." What was his main concern? Was the Word.
God
and His Word. I love it. He's at the fountain, or what is he at the? At the well, and they ask him about food.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, "Oh, I have meat that you know not of." And they're thinking food, it's funny. But our Lord wasn't thinking food, was he? All right, go to John. We'll wrap up here. We could go all day because it's all over the Word. We'll finish here. John chapter 6. Gospel of John chapter 6. But if we take anything away from today, I want you to be encouraged, to know that God loves you, that you're not you're not too far away from him to be reached. He loves you. His love is not based on your works or the lack of works or anything. That he's given you life in his son. And you have an opportunity, an awesome opportunity to live it. And so we can all turn our focus, you know, as Colossians says, to things above, not on things of the earth. For you are dead and your life is hid with God in Christ. That's where your life's at. So we can take our heart and our focus, and we can help each other do this. That's why we're a body. That's what we're supposed to do. If I'm left alone too long and just go to work and the store and hang out with people that don't understand this stuff, I start to lose sight of it too. Not because I want to, but because the stuff that's coming in my ears and my eyes is the ways of the world. Yeah. So we get to be together to help each other. God forbid that we come together and not do that for one another. Inspire one another to love and to good works, like it says in Hebrews. You know? All right, chapter 6, verse 26. I love how confronting Jesus is. He's always just like saying it like it is in the spirit. It's cool. So there, you know, he just fed them with all this food. And you know what's miraculous about the fact that he fed them? The fact that they didn't have enough food to do it. And he did it. Right? See how God just loves those guys, right? He took care of those people and their physical need. Because they were fasting for 3 days because there was no food to seek Jesus Christ and the words that he was speaking. At least initially, right? And so he has compassion on them and he goes to feed them. And then they start chasing him down. Verse 26, it says, Jesus answered them and said, "Most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him." Then they said unto him, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent." Isn't that cool? I just love that. You know, I love that because God, you know, God will absolutely take care of our needs. That's, you know, his word talks about that for sure. But we're not to, you know, we're not seeking him for bread. You know, I'm not seeking God just for the things that I think I need in my flesh. But if that's all we're seeking him for, you know, I mean, God is good, but that's a far cry from what is available. You know, and it's not really what he wants. You're not seeking me, he says, you're seeking me because you ate food and you were filled. You're still just worried about your flesh. You know, but he had the words of life, right?
Right.
And it was after this that many people left him because they were offended. And he says to Peter and the other guys, he says, "You know, you're going to leave me too?" And he says, "No, Lord. No one else has the words of eternal life," right? This is where we come. So I hope you guys are encouraged. I love you very much. And so does God, apparently, because he told us like six times today. All right. Cool.